thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
What we do.
Here's John Williams.
Every day is for you. This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Showcase Studio. It's a beautiful view in the beautiful city. Looking down the river, out across the lake, the sky is just lovely. What a great day to be in the Windy City. Remember, we're here until 3 weekdays on Saturdays from 10 to noon. On social media, it's WGN King John. On my Facebook page, WGN King John, and at WGNradio.com, there's our daily web poll question. The News Click, it's a daily web poll where we ask you to vote on something that we'll be talking about. Yesterday, we said every U.S. intelligence agency has concluded the Russians interfered in the 2016 presidential election. Vladimir Putin says they did not. They asked President Trump, who does he believe? We gave you the same three options that he had. You could have said, I believe the U.S. intelligence agencies, or I believe Vladimir Putin, or I don't care. I'm more interested in what happened to the DNC server. When asked that question, the president used the word server 7 times in emails, referring to Hillary Clinton's twice. He, as they said on the CBS Morning News today, threw the U.S. intelligence agencies under the bus. When he was interviewed by Sean Hannity about that, Hannity didn't press him on it because Hannity didn't want to. We'll talk more about that on the show today. We'll visit with the author of Bad Blood, Secrets and Lies in a Silicon Valley Startup. I loved this book. I plowed through it, raced through it. It was really fun and hard to believe that that is happening. And then Kevin's going to talk to us in the 2 o'clock hour. I believe Kevin Powell will be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour to talk about the Home Run Derby last night. Home Run Derby is kind of fun. Some years it's more fun than others. This year, between Bryce Harper and our own Kyle Schwarber, it was epic. It will be remembered as one of the great Home Run Derbies of all time.
Oh, my. So I get an alert on my phone that they're going to the finals.
It was really spectacular.
So I'm like, okay, I should give it a shot.
Yeah.
It's dorky. Come on. I don't get it at all.
Kevin, go ahead and say something if you like. I don't really care. Say whatever you want.
It's not dorky at all.
It's like...
You're wrong, Steve. You're wrong.
It's like watching PGA players hit the ball off at the driving range or something.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That would be pretty good.
400
I think that'd be
yards.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, they should do that. They should put a flag 400 yards out and say, who can come closest to the flag?
Well, they have competitive long drive competitions.
I would pay good money to watch that. So there's Schwarber, and here's the only reason that
it was awesome, Steve. Are you serious?
Yeah, I really have. I never, ever have ever watched
didn't catch.
It. And I thought, well, I'm going to give it a shot this time.
It's a new event, too, because it's 4 minutes. It's not 10 pitches or 20 pitches. It's aerobic. It's strength. It's concentration.
Steve, for the most part, I'm with you. I've never really been one that it doesn't move the needle much for me, but this year was something different.
It was really,
for sure.
It was a great athletic event. Now, here's the point. We was robbed. Schwarby should have won. Schwarby did win. The fix was in his home court. They wanted the Nationals slugger, Bryce Harper, to win, and so they rigged it so that he would. And here's how they did that. The rules are you have to wait until your hit lands, and then you throw another pitch. Sort of the way you have to wait until a putt stops before you can hit it again. You have to wait until that play is
until
over
it drops.
Until it drops. They weren't doing that.
What?
Bryce Harper. Thank you for that outrage, Violetta. Bryce Harper's dad, who is an interesting looking human, I'll add. Bryce Harper's dad would, just as soon as he hit one, he'd throw another one. So they'd have two balls in the air at the same time. Well, is that cheating or is that not cheating?
Yeah, that's cheating.
That's cheating.
That's horrible.
It's a horrible thing. And
in the nation's capital, where cheating never happens.
At this time, when we could use a little truth and honesty, even the baseball Home Run Derby was cheating.
I'll save my thoughts for 2:10.
That's when we'll discuss it at greater length, the length that it deserves.
Well, don't go early, because you'll be cheating.
Let's go wall to wall on Derby Gate 2018. This is what we really need to be discussing today.
Hey, listen, we did not take calls yesterday, and I will now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. The president is supposed to speak to Republican lawmakers this afternoon. If he does that during this show, we'll bring the audio up of it as it is relevant. That's at least the plan. Stay tuned here. You will not miss the president if he's going to go off on something or another. Maybe he'll patch it up and make it all better. But right now on our news click, 88% of you said you're with the U.S. intelligence agencies. 12% of you said you're more interested in the server. And not a one of you said that you believed Vladimir Putin when he categorically denied that there was any meddling or collusion. Not one single person on our news click voted. If one person had voted, it would have showed up as a percent. Not one single person said they believe Vladimir Putin. If the president of the United States was taking our news click, evidently he didn't, we would have had one vote, but we did not get one vote for that.
Maybe he changed his answer when he saw the percentages.
Well, he's doubled down. You know, I mean, at least when he was on state TV, he told the likes of Sean Hannity and all of them that he thought he did a great job. He didn't back away, that's for sure. Okay, so let's do this. LF, let's just play that cut that we just dropped in. This is just the summary of what set everybody on fire. This is our interest in who do you trust, the president of the Soviet Union or our own intelligence agencies, but the president was more interested in talking about servers. Elif, this is the most recent cut that we loaded. You know the one I'm talking about. Let's see if we can hear that. If you can, play it. You don't see it. Yeah.
Just need a second.
Yeah, you know, the audio, you spend all day cutting up audio and then it's not going to play for you. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break and come back with that.
Would you now, with the whole world watching, tell President Putin, would you denounce what happened in 2016, and would you warn him to never do it again?
So let me just say that we have two thoughts. You have groups that are wondering why the FBI never took the server. Why haven't they taken the server? Where is the server? The server. The server. President Putin, he just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be, but I really do want to see the server. The server. What happened to the servers? Where are those servers? They're missing. Where are they? What happened to Hillary Clinton's emails? 33,000 emails. So I have great confidence in my intelligence people, but I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today. And what he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people working on the case come and work with their investigators.
You can't listen to that enough and not laugh and cry at the same time. It is hard to believe. Edited slightly there for time and to emphasize what the president was interested versus what the questioner was interested in. Oh my God, day two. Oh my God, 2.0. I think that's how the hip kids say it. OMG 2.0. Your reaction to all, you know, and incidentally, some people like Laura Ingraham on Fox are saying that the president's words failed him, but we should judge him by his actions. And he's being tough on Russia, and he's being tough on NATO. And so let's not get all jumbled up about the fact that he blew an answer to a question at a press conference. That may be how you feel. That view was not articulated on this show yesterday, however. So here's your chance. 312-981-7200. Call or text now. 312-981-7200. I'm not pausing for a break. Just call or text now. But what has your reaction been to this? Yesterday, when I left this station, I was just so aghast and so sad. Really, that was the emotion that I expressed foremost to you yesterday, was I was just sad by that performance. And then as I got off the air and I was listening to Rokan and just reading further about it, I actually thought that my foremost emotion, were it like some others, would have been or should have been anger, right? I mean, this is an outrage. Why aren't we marching in the streets? Where are the Democrats to do something about this? And where are the Republicans to do something about this? Rand Paul was on the CBS Morning News today. Can you play a little of Rand Paul for us, Elif? I know you're doing two things in there at once. But Rand Paul and Rex Hupke of the Chicago Tribune tweeted this morning, you know you've hit a new low when the only person you can get to stick up for you is Rand Paul, but he was asked about it today.
During the height of the Cold War, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, Kennedy had a direct line to Khrushchev, and I think the world is a safer and a much better place because we had that line of communication. Let me finish my question. If you're going to ask questions, let me finish.
All right.
It was also, I think, a good idea that we've continued to have ambassadors and diplomatic relations with Russia, even though they are our adversaries.
Senator Paul, I don't think anybody would object to trying
trying to have a good relationship with Russia. I think the problem is that he seemed to throw the American intelligence community under the bus while doing that.
What you just said, that no one would object to him meeting with Putin. Every Democrat on Capitol Hill objected to him meeting with Putin. Every neoconservative and warmonger on the right also objected to it. So, yes, the vast majority of the foreign policy community, the bipartisan consensus, said you shouldn't meet with Putin. And this is an extraordinary thing about President Trump that should be lauded and not belittled, is that he is willing to meet with adversaries to try to prevent us from having World War III.
And maybe so. I don't really think we're on the cusp of World War III with Russia right now. And what that answer doesn't address is that the reason people don't want Trump to talk to Putin right now, this week, wasn't because they don't want world peace or they don't want a dialogue, but because it seems wholly inappropriate for the two to meet in private at the same time that 12 more Russian nationals, 12 more Russians in Russia have been indicted. That's why. So he said, no, we need to have open communication, open lines of communication. Well, of course we do. But that's not the essence of that question. These back and forths, the details get lost sometimes. But Rand Paul sticking up for the president that way does not at all address the real criticism of that meeting. Okay, here we go. Here comes your phone calls, 312-981-7200. It's your turn to talk. Matt, I'm glad you joined us. What do you want to say?
Hello, John.
Hey.
I just adopted a dog yesterday, and I'm walking through the kitchen at my mother's, and the dog was in there, and the TV was on, and I caught him saying all these things, and I didn't want to scare the dog with me screaming and yelling, so I simply started laughing. It's laughable. It is laughable that anybody can stand there and say, oh, his words failed him. Let's judge him on his actions. I have news for you. These words that he's saying right now, those are his actions.
That's pretty well put. That's pretty well put.
I love your show, John.
My best to you and your dogs. Matt, thanks for joining us. We'll go from you to Tina. You're on WGN. Tina, you wanted to say what? You're on the air.
Well, hey, John. My thoughts are this. Absolutely, I'm appalled and sickened by all of these things that are happening. But if you wanted to say, let's just say, give him the benefit of the doubt that perhaps he has some, you know, genius plan that's going to make this all somehow fall into place. My thought is, then why was the bulk of his meeting with Putin totally private? Like, if he really had this great plan, why didn't we have the vice president come along? Why didn't we have other people that were involved? I really question what exactly went on in those private meetings, and I feel that his words are, just like Matt said, those are his actions. The man is come unhinged. I mean, my daughter and I talked about this last night, and she said she can't decide if the man is suffering from dementia or if there's a mental illness. She said just the word patterns that he uses and the repetitiveness of the things that he says and the fact that he refuses to let go of weird aspects of these issues, like the servers, just like you put on there. There's something wrong with him, and I'm scared. It's scaring the crap out of me that he's our president.
You know, you heard him say the word servers there a bunch of times, and just to be clear, I didn't duplicate any of his answer. I just shortened it up, but that was how often, in a two-minute response, he used the word servers in emails. That was all him, straight ahead.
That's unbelievable. And is he trying to say, where are Hillary Clinton's servers? Like, I didn't even understand whose servers is he referencing in that.
The DNC, and he was upset about the email, and then there was some other gentleman whose name he couldn't recall that he brought up as well. I didn't track on all of it either, to be honest with you. I appreciate the phone call, Tina. My best to you and to the previous caller and all of those of you with pets. So the president went on with Sean Hannity. Elif, let's skip the first Hannity answer, and we're going to pick it up here, not with the first question and answer, but let's do Hannity with Trump Q1 part 2. So Hannity just says, boy, that was weird, Mr. President, what happened at the end there of the press conference. But Hannity and the president were more interested in Vladimir Putin's saying that the dossier was ridiculous. They really didn't talk about calling into question the U.S. Justice Department versus the Russian view on this thing. They did not get into that.
You need to do a reset on the dossier like you do sometimes.
Why is that?
Because, you know, it's a phrase that's been thrown around so much now that I'm not personally confident I know what is and isn't in it or what it's about.
Right.
But from what I have heard, there are things in the dossier that have not been proven.
Sure.
But there are many things in the dossier that have been proven.
That's my read on it, too.
And there's nothing in the dossier that has been unproven.
Proven to be false.
Proven to be wrong. Is that your read, too?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And I'm also not clear, to be honest with you, Steve, because it was characterized on Sean Hannity's show last night as the hiring of a Russian spy. Rand Paul did this today. It was the hiring of a Russian spy by the Clinton campaign to get dirt on Trump. I do not believe that is the origin of the dossier. I do not believe that is the origin.
Came from the Republicans first.
Exactly. And so, you know, and then the Democrats started to pay, too. So there's this.
After Trump secured and the Republicans weren't going to try to beat him.
I get it. I get it.
Clinton
but
picked it up.
So there's a very fractured timeline about who owns this Richard Steele guy and the dossier information.
And again, it doesn't matter if all of it's true.
Okay.
Or if none of it's untrue.
This is from Sean Hannity's show last night. Go ahead and play clip two there, Elif.
I think it's a shame. We're talking about nuclear proliferation. We're talking about Syria and humanitarian aid. We're talking about all of these different things, and we get questions on the witch hunt. And I don't think the people out in the country buy it, but the reporters like to give it a shot. I thought that President Putin was very, very strong.
Yeah, he's still loving the fact that if Putin is strong face-to-face, I've got to believe him. If Kim Jong-un promises me he's going to dismantle their nuclear program, I'm going to believe him. That's compelling stuff going on there.
That can't be fake news. They can't be lying.
Right.
What other times has he ever believed anything anyone said?
Yeah, no kidding. And then he throws in with these guys. You know, it's funny, too, because he talked about what a long meeting it was. They met for 2 hours, but I want you to think about a 2-hour meeting between these two guys this way. 2 hours, the two of them and their interpreters, which means, since they don't have a common language, that it's really a 1-hour meeting. I say, hi, how are you? The interpreter says, hi, how are you? You say, I'm pretty good. The interpreter says, I'm pretty good back. So everything gets said twice. In essence, a 2-hour meeting is really an opportunity for 1 hour of exchange, half of which, say, would be our president talking, half of which would be their president talking. So this epic, long, thorough meeting where we fixed things, we made great progress, is really 1 half hour of Donald Trump talking to Vladimir Putin. Now, I would have spent a half hour just ripping this guy about how they messed up our election, and you better not do it again. But evidently, that's not what happened. In fact, it's almost comical. When talking to Hannity, President Trump went on about all of the things they discussed. So, well, if this is Hannity with Trump, this will be Q2. Trump describes things they discussed.
Very long meeting. And it was a good meeting. We discussed so many different things, including nuclear, including war and peace, including economic, Syria, Ukraine. We discussed many, many things. And at the end of a long period of time, I mean, it was really a long, it was just the two of us and interpreters. And at the end of this meeting, I think we really came to a lot of good conclusions, a really good conclusion for Israel. Something very strong. He's a believer in Israel. He's a fan of Bibi.
So they did Israel, they did Bibi, they did economic and nuclear, they did world peace. Oh, wait, the next cut, Elif, he's not done yet. So here he is telling us more things they discussed.
We discussed radical Islamic terror at great length because they have the problem, too. Yeah, we discussed ISIS. And as you know, we've pretty much eradicated ISIS in the Middle East.
I asked him if he thought Schwarber got ripped off in the home run derby, and he said yes, he did, and that if that had happened in Russia, there's no way. This is my Trump voice, by the way. Evidently, it's failing me. But they got a lot done in that 1 hour of conversation. They must have been going really fast. Okay, quick, Israel. What do you think about Israel? Israel good? Israel bad? Good. Okay, good. Israel good. Now, nuclear war. Nuclear war good? Nuclear war bad? Nuclear war bad. Okay, good, bad.
So I think in the past...
Got a nuclear war done.
I don't think it's unprecedented that the two leaders sit down with just interpreters.
Vladimir Putin has met with every president, sitting United States president, during Vladimir Putin's terms. When Putin has been president, he has sat with every one of ours.
But in a one-on-one like this?
Sure. Yeah,
I believe so. I mean, that's what I'm... Because everyone's saying on both sides that they probably shouldn't have done that. But my question is, who's the interpreter? No, I'm serious.
I do think that's critical.
And because if there does come to be, and I don't predict this at all, but if there does sort of come to be some sort of criminal investigation of who's got what on whom, where's the responsibility for the interpreter to say what she heard or said?
I would almost want, I've thought about this, Steve, because that's what I do. You need to have an interpreter for the interpreter. That is, you need to have another guy in the corner just listening in for you, saying, did he say what I just said? You know, you need somebody else you trust who will vet the interpreter going. That was a big issue with Kim Jong-un, because nobody wants to say bad things to their leader. That'll put your family in peril. I'm not kidding about that.
But I'm talking about if there's, can you subpoena what, and I don't think it would, I'm not putting much stock in this. I don't think that, you know, Putin was in there showing President Trump videos or pictures or saying, I've got you by this or that. I don't think that probably is what happened. But if an investigation comes, I would imagine this interpreter was probably a military person, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's also funny. It's
also
funny that
guys,
we don't.
I think that Putin speaks and is almost fluent in English.
Right. Although my understanding is that they both used interpreters, but yeah. So the other, I think that was the same issue with Kim Jong-un. They have an advantage in that they probably hear it twice. From Colleen in LaGrange, John, Trump told us the truth. We need to believe his truth. There should not be much debate. John, Putin came to power using his ruthless brilliance, says this texter. Trump came to power on America's stupidity. So there's the range. The news is next. This is WGN. The author of Bad Blood, the book I've enjoyed the most this summer, and I've read more than a few in just a minute. We're finishing up your calls about the president. Jen, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Hi. When I was listening to Trump yesterday, the only thing I could think of is when they said that Russia would help us with the problem with the internet. It was no different than having a bank robber come in and rob the place, and then you say, oh, here's all the account numbers for the people, too, so take that. That's what I feel that we're letting ourselves open.
Well, that was the special deal that we haven't taken yet, and will only happen if Mueller asks the Russians to cooperate, and if we reciprocate by giving them some information they want. I wouldn't hold my breath. But yeah, that was kind of bizarre, Jan. I appreciate your call. And Sally, you'll be our last call. You're on WGN. What did you want
John,
to say?
John, can I interrupt you?
You sure can.
Let's go do this tape people. Playback now of the president.
We have great people, whether it's Gina or Dan Coats or any.
Well, I'm sorry. I was a little premature there. I just heard it going. I guess they're still racking it. But we
sounds like the president had a bad taco there.
No, what's happening is that's just the raw feed, and I thought they had started it, but they'll re-rack it. We'll get it going here in a second.
Fair enough, Steve. Okay. And Sally wanted to say she doesn't think that the president made any mistakes. Sally, thank you for the call. It's 142, Bad Blood, Secrets and Lies in a Silicon Valley Startup. It was written by John Carreyrou. He is a Wall Street Journal reporter whose book is just fascinating, and he joins us now on WGN. Hi, John. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Crazy days. Crazy days here in America, John.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Let's talk about Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos. Your book, Bad Blood, is about, as it's subtitled, Secrets and Lies in a Silicon Valley Startup. What was Theranos, or is Theranos?
Right, so Theranos was a startup founded in the heart of Silicon Valley in Palo Alto back in 2003 by a young woman named Elizabeth Holmes, who was 19 years old at the time and who had dropped out of Stanford in her sophomore year. And she had a vision for a diagnostic device Back then, it was a bit of a science fiction idea. It was a bracelet that would prick your blood and then diagnose what ailed you and simultaneously cure you. Eventually, she settled for something that was just the diagnostic part of that vision. And she claimed over the ensuing 10 years that she had managed to create this technology, which could do the full range of lab tests from just a drop or two of blood pricked from the finger.
Why did she only want a drop or two?
Well, it was this idea. Her mother, Noelle Holmes, had a phobia of needles and famously fainted at the mere sight of a syringe. And Elizabeth apparently inherited this phobia of needles. And so the idea was to make the blood draw much more user-friendly and less of an unpleasant and scary experience. And the way she was going to do that was to reduce it to just a finger prick. And you know, you would just get this tiny sample of blood, and then you'd be able to do all the tests that you could do with a normal sized sample. And usually a normal sized sample is about 5 tubes of blood.
So think about that. You go to the Walgreens or someplace, even a grocery store, they'll have one of those little, you know, pharmacy areas set up. You'll sit there, you'll prick your blood, and the next thing you know, very quickly, you get all of the tests run on that you need. What an amazing, and it was even expansive enough that she imagined that it would, wouldn't it like Wi-Fi that information to the doctor, and the doctor would be able to communicate back to you. It really would revolutionize medicine if all of this came to fruition, right?
Right, absolutely. That was, in fact, part of the vision that, ultimately she wanted to get her device in people's homes, and she wanted people to prick their fingers at home and put their little blood samples in the device on a regular basis, say once or twice a week, and the test results would be beamed from the machine to the doctor, and the doctor would be able to see in real time whether, you know, they had any abnormal results, and if so, would call the patient in and put them on a treatment.
Yeah.
So that was the ultimate vision.
Imagine if you're on a medication and what you're getting in right now is too much or too little, and the doctor could go, oh, I got the results from the prick of blood that you put in the machine at your home, and guess what? You don't have to come to the office. We don't need to do another blood draw. We just take about one less pill or take an extra dose. It would be amazing. So what happened? What happened with that idea?
Well, she actually went live and commercialized this supposed technology of hers in the fall of 2013. She started offering Theranos's finger stick blood tests in Walgreens stores in Northern California and in Arizona. It was Arizona especially was the launch area. And it turned out that they weren't actually using Theranos technology for most of the 250 tests on their menu. They were using the Theranos device actually for only a handful of those tests, and for about 240 plus of the tests, they were using third-party machines made by regular diagnostic equipment makers, by the likes of Siemens, the German company.
Yeah.
And in particular, they had hacked one machine made by Siemens and modified it to adapt it to these tiny finger stick samples. So there really was barely, if any, technology at the heart of what Theranos was offering in Walgreens stores.
Is it a scam or was it a sham? What did she or they think about the fact that what they were offering didn't even exist?
Right. So it wasn't a scam in the sense that, people often think of Madoff, arguably our most recent huge fraud in this country. And Madoff is a guy who 25 years ago, one day woke up and decided he was just not going to invest money anymore and was going to run a Ponzi scheme. And I think the story with Elizabeth Holmes is a little bit more nuanced than that. When she dropped out of Stanford, she really did want to become an entrepreneur,
right,
and a successful one.
Right.
And she followed in the footsteps of Steve Jobs, but unfortunately science is difficult, and she ran into setbacks, and she papered them over, and she kept over-promising, and eventually the gap between what she promised she'd achieved and what she had achieved became enormous, and it became tantamount to a fraud.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point to make and well put there. I mean, I as I'm reading the book, I think she really did have good intentions, but she was never able to develop what she promised she would do. But then she kept selling it and people were throwing money at her. My God, her company was valued at $9 billion and she alone had personal wealth relative to the company's value of over $1 billion at the age of, what, 25 years old. It was insane.
That's right. Actually, her net worth in 2014 at the height of her fame was $4.5 billion because, as you say, the company had been valued at $9 billion
and she
in its latest funding round, and she had 50% of the equity. So she was worth $4.5 billion, and that, as Forbes noted, that made her the youngest self-made female billionaire in the world.
And she's this attractive blonde lady with a mystifying deep voice. Her voice is bizarre and deep and almost mesmerizing. You spend some time in the book talking about it. I went online and listened to it. I think it's kind of creepy, actually, but it was part of her package. And she was able to get the likes of a Walgreens or these investors or James Mattis, for crying out loud, or what was it, Henry Kissinger, you know, diplomats, politicians, and wealthy people to just continue to donate hundreds of millions of dollars to her idea that we could make with a prick of your finger, you know, medical information available.
That's right. I mean, she raised almost $1 billion over the course of 15 years, and that money has now gone poof. There's not a penny of it left.
But here's the other thing. Talk about this. But she was a bad person. She was a bad boss. And her boyfriend who ran the company with her was a monster. He was a bully and kind of a fraud. He got rich, but only by luck. And he didn't know what the hell was going on. And at times you weren't sure she really knew the science behind this either. And as I'm reading the book, I'm really getting mad at them because they created a terrible, hostile work environment. And maybe Steve Jobs had a hostile work environment for some people, but that's because we know how that story ends. If you drive these people to work on something that is real, you can make amazing things happen. She was driving people almost to death to work on something that there was no evidence was ever going to work. And that's what really made me angry, John.
Right. I agree with you that the culture that she created at Theranos and that her boyfriend, who is a guy named Sonny Balwani, who was 19 years older than she was and who essentially ran this fraud with her, that culture was extremely toxic. And it was a culture in which the threat of litigation was always hanging in the air. It was well known that Elizabeth Holmes had sued ex-employees in the early years of the company for allegedly stealing trade secrets. It was well known that she had sued a childhood neighbor for supposedly stealing some patent information from Theranos. And it was also well known by employees that the outside counsel for the company was the famed and feared litigator David Boies.
Yeah.
And so that kept everyone in line and people, you know, until confidential sources started speaking to me, people never blew the whistle on this because they were so afraid that Theranos was going to come after them and sue them and bankrupt them with litigation.
Well, they also segregated departments. So people that were working on one aspect of the device didn't know what people working on another aspect of the device was. So even if they were sort of struggling, they didn't know that the whole thing was not going anywhere. It was kind of brilliant the way, if you want to at least perpetrate the fraud, it was brilliant the way she kept anybody from knowing everything that she knew.
Right. She compartmentalized information, and that started at a very early stage of the company. And it made building the device that she wanted to build very difficult because essentially, this device involved, on the one hand, engineering, and on the other hand, chemistry and biochemistry. And so you had two types of workers working on this device, engineers and biochemists. And you needed these two groups to work hand in hand and seamlessly. And because she had this structure of silos that she enforced at the company, it made those two groups alienated from each other, and it made her vision that much more difficult to pull off.
The story goes poof, as you say, because somebody, would you believe, a blogger from Missouri who knew a little bit about blood testing, a blogger from Missouri who knew a little something about blood testing, went, you know, this just doesn't smell right, and they reached out to you. I have one last question for you in a minute on WGN. We're talking to John Carreyrou, his book. By the way, am I saying your name correctly, John? I've been looking at it for a week.
You are.
John Carreyrou's book is Bad Blood, Secrets and Lies in a Silicon Valley Startup. It's the story of, among others, but principally Elizabeth Holmes, that young woman who became a billionaire. But then the company went poof because it really didn't do what they said it was going to do. But if she had, instead of a blood testing company, a cell phone or something that did work, then she would be good, right? You know what I mean? Then this would be a great success story rather than a great fraud story, right? Or do you think that she's inherently a flawed and wrong and criminal and bad person? I'm not sure what she is.
Well, you've put your finger on one of the themes of the book, which is that she really channeled the ethos of the traditional Silicon Valley. And what I mean by the traditional Silicon Valley is the computer industry. Computer hardware and software, and mostly software, in fact. And it's been well known that over the past 40, 50 years in Silicon Valley, there's been this attitude that you fake it until you make it. And the likes of Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and Larry Ellison often during their careers, especially in the early parts of their careers, overpromised. And Larry Ellison, who, by the way, invested in Theranos early on, was famous for shipping software that was riddled with bugs. And now, of course, you know, decades later, Oracle is one of the most admired software companies in the world, and yeah. Larry Ellison is one of the richest people in the world. And so that playbook worked for him, but that's because software is a product that people use that isn't used for medical decisions. A blood testing device is used for very important medical decisions, and that's a huge difference. And you can't fake it until you make it in medicine.
And they were. I mean, imagine that. It, you know, not as bad as it could have been, but imagine if you're trying to find out if you have AIDS. Imagine if you're trying to find out if you have colon cancer. And so you take a blood test or you take some sort of sample and you give it to this company, and they don't. They're not able to do what they're promising. I mean, it's amazing that it's lucky that this thing wasn't catastrophic for a lot of people, right?
Right. And when I came along, Theranos and Walgreens were on the cusp of expanding their partnership nationwide and offering Theranos' blood tests in 8,000 Walgreens stores around the country. Back then, they were only in 45 stores, a couple in Northern California and the rest in Arizona. And when my first story came out 9 months after I started investigating the company in October of 2015, Walgreens froze the partnership and then eventually a year later ended it. But it gives you an idea of what the stakes were. The stakes were preventing this disastrous fake technology from being rolled out nationally with the consequences that would have had.
And you say, well, why didn't Walgreens investigate more before they threw millions in? But they were afraid CVS would get it and they didn't want to be behind on this. So against all common sense, they go ahead and go forward. And when they make the movie, the guy from Walgreens, that cowboy they sent out to partner up with them, has to be one of the funnest characters in the book. It's really amazing and hard to believe. It's called Bad Blood, Secrets and Lies in a Silicon Valley Startup. It is being made into a movie, right, John?
It is. Legendary Entertainment optioned the film rights, and Adam McKay is attached to direct Jennifer Lawrence to star as Elizabeth Holmes.
She'll kill it. I mean, when I saw that, I thought, ooh, that'll be good. Good luck to you, John. Let's visit again, and congratulations. I thoroughly enjoyed your story.
Thank you very much.
The book is Bad Blood. This is WGN.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Actually,
here's John Williams.
I'm having trouble keeping up. I'll be honest with you about that. We're here until 3 o'clock. On Saturdays, it's a show from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Remember on social media, WGN King John and the Mincing Rascals podcast. Steve Bertrand and I are regulars on that. It was judged by Chicago media as the best podcast in the city. Go Mincing Rascals. Are you a regular listener too? It's a free subscribe to the Mincing Rascals. Steve, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble keeping up. So the president spoke at a spray where he's walking and reporters are shouting questions at him, right? And that was after he met with these Republican lawmakers?
I think it would have been, it was ahead of the meeting or at the meeting. So he came in and made some remarks. And apparently the crux of it was he wanted to clarify what he said yesterday that got him into so much trouble.
Okay, so what did he say? I know you played some of this in your news, but let's just talk about this for a second. He's now saying what?
Well, you've got about 5 minutes here.
I've got time.
Pulled. Okay,
yeah.
let's just listen to him. But
stop and start this as we move along? By the way,
I'll give him my best shot, John.
Okay,
but you know, yesterday he said, "I don't know why the Russians would be involved." I mean, you know, it doesn't seem like it's them. When he was asked to choose between Vladimir Putin or the U.S. intelligence today, he said, "What I meant to say was, I don't know why they wouldn't be involved. Or the other way around. Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't be. But anyway, he tried to clarify it today. And again today said he had great confidence in the intelligence community in the U.S. So
okay, but just, I know, Steve, you got to play the audio.
Go ahead.
But in other words, he's saying what I meant to say was, yeah, they probably were involved. That's
right.
His spin on that from yesterday?
Yeah, he meant to say, instead of, he said, I don't know why they would be involved yesterday. What he meant to say was, I don't know why they wouldn't be involved.
Okay, let's hear that.
Let me begin by saying that, once again, the full faith and support for America's intelligence agencies. I have a full faith in our intelligence agencies. Whoops, they just turned off the light. That must be the intelligence agencies. There it goes. Okay. You guys okay? That was strange, but that's okay. So I'll begin by stating that I have full faith and support for America's great intelligence agencies, always had. And I have felt very strongly that while Russia's actions had no impact at all on the outcome of the election, let me be totally clear in saying that, and I've said this many times, I accept our intelligence community's conclusion that Russia's meddling in the 2016 election took place. Could be other people also. There's a lot of people out there.
So, John, there's one point there where the president tried to say, I accept that the Russians did it, but he sort of couldn't help himself and said, it could have been a lot of other people, too.
There was no collusion at all. And people have seen that, and they've seen that strongly. The House has already come out very strongly on that. A lot of people have come out strongly on that. I thought that I made myself very clear by having just reviewed the transcript. Now, I have to say, I came back and I said, what is going on? What's the big deal? So I got a transcript. I reviewed it. I actually went out and reviewed a clip of an answer that I gave. And I realize that there is a need for some clarification. It should have been obvious. I thought it would be obvious, but I would like to clarify just in case it wasn't. In a key sentence in my remarks, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't or why it wouldn't be Russia. So, just to repeat it, I said the word would instead of wouldn't, and the sentence should have been, and I thought it would be maybe a little bit unclear on the transcript or unclear on the actual video, the sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia. Sort of a double negative. So you can put that in, and I think that probably clarifies things pretty good by itself. I have on numerous occasions noted our intelligence findings that Russians attempted to interfere in our elections. Unlike previous administrations, my administration has and will continue to move aggressively to repeal any efforts and repel. We will stop it. We will repel it. Any efforts to interfere in our elections. We're doing everything in our power to prevent Russian interference in 2018. And we have a lot of power. As you know, President Obama was given information just prior to the election, last election, 2016, and they decided not to do anything about it. The reason they decided that
was pretty obvious to all. They thought Hillary Clinton was going to win the election, and they didn't think it was a big deal. When I won the election, they thought it was a very big deal. And all of a sudden, they went into action, but it was a little bit late. So he was given that in sharp contrast to the way it should be. And President Obama, along with Brennan and Clapper and the whole group that you see on television now, probably getting paid a lot of money by your networks, they knew about Russia's attempt to interfere in the election in September, and they totally buried it. And as I said, they buried it because they thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. Turned out didn't happen that way. By contrast, my administration has taken a very firm stance. It's a very firm stance on a strong action. We're going to take strong action to secure our election systems and the process. Furthermore, as has been stated, and we've stated it previously and on many occasions, no collusion.
President Trump there speaking earlier in the, I believe it was the Oval Office. One other clarification, though. The president said that they knew in September and didn't do anything. You might remember, John, that the intelligence leaders put out a statement about Russia meddling in the investigation in October of that year, but it happened to have been the same day as the Access Hollywood tape was released, and so it was widely drowned out.
Well, those Russians were indicted on charges of meddling. There has been no conclusion about collusion. Boy, is anybody tired of hearing me make this point that the president keeps saying no collusion, which is like asking somebody suspected of robbing a bank if they robbed a bank? I know that's what you think or what you want us to think, but your opinion really won't matter on this one. We'll decide if there was collusion, but it seems abundantly clear that there was meddling.
And he said today that he has said that many times, that he has agreed with that.
Okay, but let's just, all right, so you spent some time, Stephen. I'm glad you and Domati put that tape together for us. We listened to, 4 or 5 minutes there of the president saying, among other things, that the confusion on your part at home was that you heard him say would when what he should have said was wouldn't. And but for two letters and an apostrophe, all of this goes away. So let's listen again to a little of what he said yesterday and tell me if this is a man who believes in the U.S. Justice Department.
Just now, President Putin denied having anything to do with the election interference in 2016. Every U.S. intelligence agency has concluded that Russia did. My first question for you, sir, is who do you believe? My second question is, would you now, with the whole world watching, tell President Putin, would you denounce what happened in 2016 and would you warn him to never do it again?
So let me just say that we have two thoughts. You have groups that are wondering why the FBI never took
Actually, this answer is really bad.
Haven't they taken the server?
Because he's not answering the question.
FBI told to leave the office of
He's going to talk about the servers.
National Committee. I've been wondering that. I've been asking that for months and months, and I've been tweeting it out and calling it out on social media. Where is the server? I want to know where is the server and what is the server saying? With that being said, all I can do is ask the question. My people came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be, but I really do want to see the server.
Wow. Boy, that didn't sound like somebody who was mistaking his words there. In fact, he emphasized would be. Yeah. I hate to get all Zapruder about Donald Trump's vocabulary, but I'm sorry.
He said it twice, right? I mean, he visited it twice, I think.
Elif, can you, I don't know, are you able to just walk back to that point and pick it up there for us and continue to play it? Go ahead if you can.
I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be, but I really do want to see the server. But I have confidence in both parties. I really believe that this will probably go on for a while, but I don't think it can go on without finding out what happened to the server. What happened to the servers of the Pakistani gentleman that worked on the DNC? Where are those servers? They're missing. Where are they? What happened to Hillary Clinton's emails? 33,000 emails, gone, just gone.
I think in Russia they wouldn't be gone so easily. I think it's a disgrace that we can't get Hillary Clinton's 33,000 emails. So I have great confidence in my intelligence people, but I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today. And what he did is an incredible offer.
Yeah, and then he said that they'll fix it. Wow. But I have great confidence in our U.S. Justice Department, but, which means forget what you just heard, because now I'm going to say something different. Vladimir Putin was very strong. You know, I was struck when he said that, because everybody said don't be played, and strength means everything to Donald Trump. That he conceded that Vladdy was very strong is a concession. I was surprised he said that.
When you see the video of the president today, and if you listen to it with that in mind, you can hear the differences of he came out, he had notes. He was trying to be very specific in what he said and how he said it to try to correct this.
Well, he must think we're all fools if we listen to this fix. And by the way, I think sometimes the fix makes things worse, right? Oh, I'll go out and don't worry, I'll handle it. And now not only do we not trust you, but now you're calling us stupid. Now you're calling us all dumb. Now you're telling us that you can trick or fool all of us by saying that what you said isn't what you said, or what you said isn't what you meant, when clearly you did.
He's been doing that for some time. I mean, when he talked about having won because there were 3 million votes that weren't counted or things like that.
Steve, if I came on here today and said the sky is up, and then tomorrow I said the sky is down, and then tomorrow I said, well, clearly I meant the sky is up. When I said down, I meant up. And you played it, and I would say unequivocal that the sky is down. I think you would have me for the sky is down. You can't come on the next day and just go, well, it was up, when in fact there's no evidence to believe you the second time. The entirety of that points to what he said, that he trusts Vladimir Putin and he doesn't trust our U.S. intelligence community on this. And then the next day, because it hits the fan, he switches it around. You can't erase the tape, Mr. President. We just played it. It's clear what you meant. Not just because of that word, would or wouldn't, but because of the whole thing that you said.
And even today he said, I believe it was the Russians and it could have been others too.
Maybe it's that 400-pound kid in the basement.
I think the president has had success in the past by just...
Oh, he's going to repeat this over and over. Yeah.
And I don't know that... I mean...
Is today a tipping point, Steve? You think he might be successful? I wondered yesterday if today is a tipping point. If yesterday was a tipping point. If his presidency will be broken up into two parts before and after Helsinki. I thought that strongly yesterday. You think I should back off that profound view of mine, Steve?
I think throughout his presidency, we have shown that his supporters are willing to believe.
This isn't about them.
Well, it is about them.
No, it's not. There's not enough of them.
Who's it about then?
It's about his presidency. It's about the midterm election. I think that what he did today ensured that he won't be reelected.
If the people who he believes are going to believe him,
no,
then he'll go on status quo where he was a week ago.
And he'll be defeated if he does. Here's why I say that. Because his supporters, all the people that voted for Donald Trump, aren't his quote-unquote supporters. A lot of them are just anti-Hillary Clinton people. A lot of them were like, oh, what the hell, let's try something different. There's a lot of them. And a lot of them ain't going to vote for this guy again.
Well, let me tell you this.
And a lot of people who couldn't vote in the last election because they were at Parkland High School or someplace else, they're going to vote in the next election, too.
I want to say the idea that, you know, the Democrats are going to have this blue wave in November, I think you have to be very careful about that, too. I was talking to a guy who voted for Trump a couple of weeks ago, very conservative guy, successful guy, and, he said, I just can't do it anymore. And I said, it's not about the policies, it's about his comportment.
Absolutely.
The way he behaves. And this guy said, absolutely, you're right. That's exactly what it is. But when that guy who now has given up on Donald Trump goes to vote for a member of Congress in November, he's still going to vote for a Republican. You know, Donald Trump is so disassociated from the Republican Party, I think the Republicans in November are going to do better than a lot of people think.
Maybe so, but I'd sure like to see them step up today where and, you know, I know that some of the Republican delegation from Illinois has said, you know, the boilerplate sort of, we believe in the Justice Department and there was meddling and that sort of thing. But I really don't sense the outrage. John McCain spoke up. Of course he did. Jeff Flake spoke up. Of course he did. But has the Republican Party really gone after him on this? Are they organizing some sort of protest or march in support of the U.S. Justice Department? I missed that memo. Lots of texts, lots of calls. We'll pick it up here in a minute. Let me tell you, by the way, Kevin, I'm sorry, I was going to ask Kevin Powell about the home run derby. Kevin and I were going to talk about Kyle Schwarber getting robbed of the home run derby. That's even our news click today. But we didn't get a chance to get into that too much now, did we? Among the texts to 312-981-7200. Hey, John, what about the part where Putin actually said he wanted Trump to be president and he told his people to make it happen? Putin did say he wanted Trump to win. He did not, however, say.
Well, he did, technically, but it just would be so incredible if he meant that no one believes that's what he meant.
He said he wanted Trump to win, but he did not answer the second part of the question, did you direct your people to make it happen? That did not happen at the press conference.
Well, the question was, did you want him to win?
And he said yes.
And you did you? Well, let me finish, though. Mr. President, did you want him to win, and did you direct your people to do something about it? And he said, yes. Yes, I did, because he wanted to be closer to Russia.
Elif, can you find the audio on that? I'm not going to argue with Steve Bertrand about this. I may be wrong.
Well, no, I'm on your side, because he could not possibly have meant that.
So he would not have said, no matter what the tape says.
Right, because he spent a lot of time saying there's no way it happened, and that specific thing you could read into it that he did say yes, but I don't think he did.
I'll play the audio after the news. John, the biggest question now, after all we've endured with Trump, is what do we do about it? We can't just be angry or sad or disgusted. We need to find a way to save our country from our president. This one, in capital letters, said Trump violated his presidential oath to honor and protect the Constitution. And then this from 312. John Williams, let me get this straight. You would prefer that we were at war with Russia than work for peace? Boy, that's strange. This texter said, hey, have you people ever made a mistake? The next text says it's easy for him to say that now that he's not standing next to Putin. And from 773, did your radio station dissect every word of Obama like you do with Trump? And I will end with, I wanted Bernie Sanders. I want the news. That's next on WGN. Everything you need to know about Amazon Prime Day, which is still today until 2 o'clock tomorrow morning in Chicago time. Amazon Prime Day is still on. What you need to know, and what happened yesterday after the news. So, Steve, it only takes 9 seconds, if you will. This is when Vladimir Putin was asked if he wanted Donald Trump to win. In the middle of this, you'll hear a burst of sound from the interpreter, but I think you'll hear both parts of the question and his answer.
Did you want President Trump to win the election, and did you direct any of your officials to help him do that?
Yes, I wanted him to win, because he talked about the need to normalize U.S.-Russian ties.
And then he didn't answer, did you direct anybody on your staff to make that happen?
Okay, I stand corrected. I'm sorry about that.
Fair enough. But I mean, so what did he do was not resolved to my satisfaction.
I mean, I don't believe he ever did say that he wouldn't say that he did do it, but...
Wait, that's a double negative. I know. Who are you, Donald Trump?
No, I just thought the way it was answered was different, but that's okay.
And what happened yesterday? What happened yesterday is the question at Amazon Prime, because that's like their mid-season Christmas. That's a big deal. So many people went to the site, it crashed, and instead of getting the opportunity to buy things at discounts, they have that little, oops, sorry, we're embarrassed. You know how when you go to a website or a page and it's not functioning and then they have something cute? Well, there, at Amazon, they put a picture of a dog, and I don't know exactly what the reason for that is, but it's like, sorry, we're having some technical difficulties.
Cute
please
puppies,
try again.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, well, but in the meantime, look at this puppy. Who's a good boy?
Who could be mad at a puppy that looks like Jeff Bezos?
So they've got these dogs that people were seeing pictures of, and they didn't want pictures of dogs. They wanted a Zumba or a Roomba or whatever those things are.
All right, I think so, you can get both.
You can get Zumba is an exercise.
Yeah, but you can get the tapes there.
So we wanted some Zumba tapes, and we wanted a Roomba to vacuum our room.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we got a picture of a dog. This is Jacob Palmer, editorial manager at bestreviews.com. Hi, Jacob. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
All right. So what is this Prime Day? They've been doing it for a few years. I described it as a mid-season Christmas for Amazon. What's that all about?
Yeah, it's basically that. It's basically Amazon trying to create a Christmas in July. They started in 2015 to celebrate about the time that they were founded, and ever since then they've been using it to create basically a second buying season outside of the holidays, where they can, you know, on one hand get more people to be Amazon Prime members, and on the other hand they can use those Prime members and put markdown product in a big way to move a good number of units.
Give me some examples of the either discount percentage or items per se, specific items that would have been on sale yet, or are still on sale for that matter.
Well, there's you know, they cover a lot of categories. For example, some of the biggest sellers are in kitchen. The Instant Pot was down from around $100 to about $60 yesterday. That one sold out pretty quickly. It's a multi-cooker. It's a pressure cooker and a crock pot. It does a whole lot of things. It's very popular right now. And then there's also, I think you guys mentioned it during the intro, but, you know, another big seller, robotic vacuums. They were selling those, and that comes from all different kinds of brands, not just Roomba, but, you know, the different brands that make them. Yesterday, you were able to find one for almost about 50% off. I think the type of products and then the amount of the discount kind of runs the gamut. There's things that aren't that big of a discount, and there's things that are hugely discounted.
You described to me off the air today, the idea is pamper yourself, luxury items. Maybe that's not the perfect description, luxury items, but things that you might not otherwise buy, but lured by a big discount, you may go ahead and throw in, right?
Yeah, I think the goal is to get people to splurge on new technology and new things that they otherwise wouldn't be spending on. You know, so there's something like, you know, exactly like the robotic vacuum, where somebody would say, I own a vacuum, I don't need another one. But then when they see it hugely marked down, then they start to think to themselves, well, maybe I would like something that makes my life a little bit easier, even if it is a cost I wouldn't normally consider, since I'm getting it at such a discounted rate. Why not just treat myself right now, you know, during the summer and before we get into the holiday season buying stuff?
Do those things really work, by the way? Do those Roombas really work? Do they really vacuum your house as well as you would if you moved the chairs away from the dining room table and did it yourself?
Absolutely. And I've been actually testing one. We've been testing it for the last few weeks. I've been keeping it in my apartment. I have a small dog, but he sheds like a big dog. And we've been using it in the apartment. What's nice about it is that it cleans the floors well enough that you then get that kind of extra energy that you would have used on vacuuming, and you then use that on cleaning other areas of the house. So now I'm a better duster than I was before, and I'm better at, you know, arranging things and tidying up in other ways, because I don't have to worry about, you know, getting the vacuum out of the closet, plugging it in, doing that whole dance around the apartment, because I know the robotic vacuum will take care of it. But like I said, when I mentioned the dog, I will note that during the testing, we noticed that the dog is not a fan of the robotic vacuum one bit. He doesn't know where it's going, and he doesn't trust it at all.
What happened yesterday then? So at 2 o'clock, I think, Chicago time, what happened?
So at 2 o'clock yesterday, they finally, you know, they've been doing this build-up. They've been doing all this marketing of trying to get people aware that Prime Day is coming, that they're going to have these spectacular deals, you know, to bring people in far and wide. And they were pretty successful, to the point that they were overloaded their website, and people who entered through Amazon.com directly, and then the people who went from Amazon.com to the Prime Day landing page, it was overloaded. And so what ended up happening was no one was able to get past that, or if you were lucky and persistent. And so what people ended up seeing was there was so much traffic on the site, and the site wasn't prepared to handle that much traffic. We ended up seeing a lot of pictures of dogs, because that is what the Amazon site defaults to when they're not able to display the product page that the visitor is hoping to get.
Is that embarrassing to Amazon? Is that embarrassing to Amazon? I mean, they're not just a retail company. They're a technology company. Don't you suppose there were some IT guys and a vice president to something or another sitting at a desk looking at the screen and just having a conniption because the site was crashing?
You can only imagine as much, especially when you consider that one of their biggest moneymakers as a corporation is their web services. You would think that they would be able to handle situations of a surge of traffic, of getting a ton of people onto the site. And so that was a big of an embarrassment, but something I think that should be noted is sites that aren't doing well don't have those problems. And what I mean by that is it's kind of one of those good problems, when you are so popular and people want to buy from you so badly that they overwhelm your site. It's not ideal, but Amazon did come out with a statement and say that, you know, we've made more money in this day where we've had this, you know, seemingly embarrassed hiccup with our tech. You know, despite all that, we've still made more money than we have in any other Prime Day the last 3 years. So, you know, it's one of those good problems in that you're so wildly popular, it ends up, you know, being a stumbling point.
One last question then. If I go there now, you said the Amazon Prime Day in Chicago goes till 2 a.m. our time. That is 2 o'clock tomorrow morning. So I could still get some discounts. Any tips for me on how to best navigate or how to best take advantage of this thing?
It's running pretty smoothly now. I would say the one thing that I would one big tip is to make sure that you go in with a plan. Know kind of the categories you're looking for and go in and go in with something that maybe a wish list or some guidance of what it is you want, because you don't want to just go in there blind and start clicking around because you won't know if you'll be finding the best deals. A big tip I would say is to visit ChicagoTribune.com, where we have a space on the front page, and we have some content out there where we'll give you tips of what's available. Maybe if you're into the kitchen or if you're looking for home improvement items, we have a lot of content out there that will help you kind of sort yourself to the best stuff on available right now on Prime Day.
I virtually never shop online, but recently I did buy some collar stays. Do you think I could get a good deal on collar stays right now?
I can't promise it without looking it up first, but they definitely are selling things that are, you know, up to the technological advancement things that people want, but then also down to kind of the everyday things that anybody would be interested or even be considering buying, just as a grocery store.
I mean, what's the point of being a part of Amazon Prime if I can't get a good deal on collar stays? You know what I'm saying?
It's a valid question.
Hey, it's nice to talk to you. Do a nice job. I appreciate you helping us out today, Jacob. Let's visit again, okay?
All right. Well, thanks so much for having me.
Jacob Palmer is the editorial manager at bestreviews.com.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Hopefully no more dogs when you go shopping.
Who let the dogs out?
When's the last time you heard this song?
Who let the dogs out?
2004?
When the party was nice, the party was bumping. And everybody having a ball.
I was watching the video of this today, too. How much fun is this? You know this song. You didn't see the video. Videos weren't as big when this came out. Go watch the video. This is really fun. It goes...
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
You know, they put Rokan on for an hour and Steve Cochran on for an hour.
Who let the dogs out?
CLTV should just put us on for one dance segment a day.
Yeah.
I'm going to change my ringtone to that.
That would be entertaining to watch you fumble through your pockets while who let the dog?
They're in church. You know, I'm at some corporate meeting. Make sure your phones are off. Who let the dogs out? I who? Dive into who? The pew. Oh my God, I'm going to get that from. All right, Kevin, I'm going to make a couple minutes for you after a quick break here. You're going to tell us what side of the Kyle Schwarber controversy you're on. He got robbed last night.
I'm ready.
Ladies, it's the first one, and it's a long one.
That's a long one.
Javi Baez.
Oh, my goodness.
And the gang.
This guy has a classic home run swing.
Talking about Kyle Schwarber at the Home Run Derby last night.
Started talking about it.
We practiced, and
he's going to threaten those 2-4-40s.
Oh, yes. That's going to hit the scoreboard. Come on, hit the scoreboard. Ah!
He's going to hit a ball over the seats into the concourse there in right field.
Yes,
he got into a couple of zones and was just crushing it. I didn't think he'd win the first round. That was tough. He made it to the final round against Bryce Harper of the Washington Nationals there in his home park. And the rule is that in home run derby, who can hit the most in 4 minutes, essentially? If you hit enough long home runs, you get extra time. But how many can you hit in 4 minutes? But you have to wait for the ball to land into the seats or into the ground before you take your next shot, before the next ball is pitched to you. You can't have two balls going at the same time. Schwarber didn't cheat. Bryce Harper did. Kevin Powell, your thoughts?
Cheating is a strong word, John.
Well,
I went back and after further review, okay, I went back and I watched it over and over, and I would say that there's only two definitive balls that didn't land while Harper was receiving another pitch. Just two.
Well, but
it wasn't like it was seven of them.
He only won by one.
Right, but hang on. Because he tied it on that last swing, but remember, he had that 30-second bonus. So the last two before the regular time ran out, okay, I think people have a valid point that I don't think those balls completely dropped before Harper received another pitch, but he had 30 seconds to work with, and I'm pretty confident the way Harper was swinging, he was working off the crowd, there was a lot of energy. I'm pretty confident he probably would have took it in that 30-second bonus time anyways.
If the Chicago Cubs' Kyle Schwarber had also cheated, he might have had a couple of extra home runs, so the difference wouldn't have been one. It might have been three or four.
Also, if Kyle Schwarber had won at Wrigley Field, no one would care either. Who cares? This was fitting. It was the home run derby.
Is there a cash prize involved? I
didn't see any cash prize, no. In the past, in All-Star games, I've seen them give away cars and stuff like that. But
I'll bet you he had in his contract, if you were in the home run derby, you get like $50,000.
Could be. A lot of these guys have weird little quirky things built into their contracts.
If you make the All-Star team, if you, you know, right, lead the league or in the top finish 10 in doubles.
Right, or finish in the top five of MVP voting or something like that. So, did he cheat? I don't know if he cheated. And honestly, I know Cub fans don't want to hear this, but it felt right. I mean, it was Harper in front of his crowd that he's played in front of his
entire
career.
What's with Harper's dad? Was that a human being there?
He kind of looked like a cartoonist Jake Arrieta, right? That guy doesn't miss... he doesn't miss arms day, but it looks like he may be missing legs day.
He had a shag carpet of a beard,
yes,
and then nothing above the ears.
Right.
And a neck that started at those ears and went down to his thighs. He was just like a tree.
Yeah, he was a monster.
Pitching this to his dad. Deadspin said that he wasn't actually pitching that many good pitches.
No, he wasn't. I saw a lot of horrible pitches thrown at all the guys. I'm like, is this guy trying to strike his buddy out? What's happening here?
Our news click at WGNradio.com asks you, how bad did Schwarber get jobbed? And you can vote with your mouse just by clicking on WGNradio.com and look for the news click. The correct answer is he was screwed. Well, that's all the time for that. Anna DeVlantis is in the studio.
Hi, John.
How are you?
In your life, the major moments that you've said... would instead of would. I just started to think about that. You're on the world stage, and the president is now saying that he meant to say, Russia is, I meant to say there was no reason it wouldn't be Russia, and I said there's no reason it
would
be
Russia.
You
know, that argument would have some currency if, in fact, he didn't say anything else.
That's right, in the context.
But there was a 20-minute press conference there, and the whole time he was saying, I believe Vladimir Putin, I don't believe U.S. intelligence. And then he gets a transcript, and he goes, I know, we'll say that I forgot to say "nt," and then this all goes away.
Clean up in aisle 7. There's a bit of that going on today because he saw members of his own party and even his own national director of intelligence come out and say that, yes, we do believe that Russia meddled, and yes, we do have to stand up to them for that reason. So I think he's feeling that heat, and he's making it known that... Well, he's cleaning it up a little bit.
He's trying. I'm not sure that he didn't make it worse today. And yesterday, this didn't gain any momentum. I wondered if it would, but you heard people saying that his foreign affairs team, his defense team, they need to resign, right? If the president of the United States is not going to take the advice of the administration of the United States, he's going to execute his own plans and say crazy things, then Pompeo and all the rest of them just need to quit in principle. If
Coates
nothing
and
else.
Kelly, people are calling for all of this.
It's like,
to step
why are
aside.
We here? Why are we here? We have a policy. We have a position. We think that the Russians meddled. And then you pretend like that's not happening. Well, then, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm even working
here.
Yeah,
I suppose the pushback on that I've heard is that, well, these are qualified, highly qualified individuals who work. We should be happy, have the ear of the president, and maybe they're serving their country better by staying put.
I get that. What else are you guys doing today?
Congressman Kinzinger will talk about this. He is pretty harshly critical of this president, and he isn't on everything, but on this particular issue, he certainly is has some strong words, and he wants to talk about that and also some other issues about how we can collaborate with Russia, hopefully, to help the world. We're also going to talk with the West Coast chief at CNET about Amazon Prime Day. Did you participate, even though there were some glitches and some technical issues?
I'm going to go home and buy a toaster.
It's still $150 billion for a net worth of Jeff Bezos after still very successful, even with the clutch.
John, you can get a pack of 36 collar stays for $8.95.
See, I was looking for collar stays.
Collar stays, really?
John's a big collar stay guy.
Those collar sticks that go up your collar, right?
Yeah, a lot of times my collars fall apart. I was looking for them online and was shocked at how much they cost.
Not on Amazon. I was surprised to see the deals they have today.
Aren't they little tiny pieces of plastic?
Yeah, you know, Amazon Prime Day is still ongoing.
Or metal ones.
Yeah.
So when does it go till?
Till 2 a.m.
2 a.m.
So, you know, over past midnight.
John, get your collar stays while you can.
I'll walk down there. You show me the link, okay?
Okay, well,
you got some time for
I'll
that.
I'll email it to you.
We're giving away a family four-pack of passes to the Blackhawks convention, and we're also going to have the Washington Post's Philip Bump here talking about that Russian spy story that sort of fell under the radar yesterday, Maria Butina, with all the other stuff that was going on with Russia.
Timing is everything. Okay, have a really good show.
Thank you.